with the outline. Thank you, sir. We have been studying the last, month or two months about the subject of science as it relates to the Bible and trying to explain what science does not know, what people do not know, and how God's revelation gives us things that we can know. And so for all of that, you'd have to go back to our series before. We talked about superstition and science and how God is the original superstition killer, and the scripture communicates the need to remove superstition from his church and from those who claim to do God's will, which is to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, not following superstition. And what happens when people don't understand things, and there's lots of things we don't know, people tend to invent things that are true based on what they don't know, and that's superstition. That's just falsehood. So we need to be careful of that as those who believe the truth and study the scripture. We've did many other lessons between here, there, and now, and this will probably be the final lesson in that series, less about science and more about technology. As people have been asking me to talk about this, and I really wanted to talk about it in relation to this subject of what we can know in science, because there's a lot of things people don't know about AI, about artificial intelligence. The world is changing because of AI. Has anyone here used AI? Surely. It's been some years now. This side of the room are going to hell, and that side's going to heaven, right? AI is a revolutionary technology. Technology tends to do that when we invent things to make our life easier, and that's what all technology does, is a convenience for us. Going back to the wheel, or fire, or concrete, and what would we do without concrete, you know? World-changing technology. Or the printing press with books, mass production of books, electricity, the discovery of that. Your washing machine has more revolutionary technology than you might think. You know how much time people spent doing this with clothes and using, you know, washing machines saved lots and lots of time. It's one of those technologies that separate the first and third world. Cars have changed the world, automobiles, airplanes, computers, the internet, and now I'm getting to things that people don't understand. Not everybody. You're like, computers, yeah, I'm still stuck in the 70s. Or, you know, internet, we still don't know what that is. Is that, you get juiced that in through the phone line or something? No. Smartphones have changed the world, and now AI, artificial intelligence, is doing the same thing. There's many things that it's doing now, including the writing of books and articles. In fact, one place they did a study just on so many articles online, they found that almost half, if not more than half, it's kind of at the verge now, of half of new articles on the internet are AI written, right? So, internet's a big place, right? But yeah, that's what's going on. It's detecting diseases. In fact, one study I saw that its AI is in certain applications is able to diagnose a disease a little bit better than trained doctors. And you're like, what? Yeah, and yet at the same time, you're like, do I trust this AI? It detects diseases. It creates pictures now. For a long time, people said, well, that what separates us from the machines is art, right? And then suddenly, generative AI came out, and now we're making pictures and music. Some of you heard some of the Mid-Ax music created by using some AI tools. Music, videos. You've seen the fake videos that come out, and some people laugh at those things. Other people are going, this is not going to bode well for people who are online. Can you trust what you see on the internet? Well, it's becoming less of a thing that you can trust what you see online, because you can use technology very easily now, AI technology, to create videos that may not be true. And so you have different ways. One way you see that, not full-blown AI, is just the filters you have on your phone. Like you're doing some video chat and it changes the way you look real time while you're communicating. It does that. AI can drive. We have self-driving cars now. Right. I don't know if you have self-driving cars. There are people that have them in newer cars. They at least have limited self-driving capability, if not full on. And lastly, and not leastly, as it pertains to the subject today, AI can talk to you. You can talk to it. Anyone use ChatGPT or Claude, you can talk to it. You can communicate to it. This technology is going to be world-changing. It's already changed the world substantially as it's been just a few years now. But technology generally always affects things like economics and politics and science. It allows progress in certain scientific fields. It adjusts economics as people adjust to the technology. It always kills jobs. When the Whirlpool washing machine came out and washing machines became popular, you know how people lost their jobs who were hand-washing clothes? And you're going, yeah, that's probably a good thing. Well, you see, that's how it happens. When cars came out, the people made horseshoes, they went away. So jobs are always lost. You say, well, AI, though, is happening a lot faster. Maybe and probably it could happen that way. And yet they're also seeing a rise of different kinds of jobs. I get ads all the time of you need to enter the AI economy and learn how to use AI and use AI for your job. So things like economics always get adjusted and affected by new technology. Politics is always lagging behind. I think Congress is still trying to figure out the internet. They don't know how to regulate it. You know, they're confused by it. They're still arguing with Facebook. AI here, they don't know how to do that. But will this intrude on God is the question that pertains to what we're talking about this morning. Will artificial intelligence remove the need for God? Will it intrude on God's space? Can it replace God? Can it replace pastors, churches, or Christian functionality? Will it take away your job? That's what we're talking about today. Will humanity go extinct? Some people are saying that AI is going to destroy it's going to be the end of us all. It's going to rise up and just kill us all. You know, seen too many movies, right? Some people think it's spiritual. Like AI is a spiritual thing. It's an evil spirit, right? Or it's some sort of spirit. If you talk to AI, you're talking to devils or talking to spirits that God said don't talk to. People have that opinion. Some people think that it's the Antichrist. Peter Thiel and others have talked about how they think the Antichrist is related to AI in some way, or the AI will bring in the Antichrist. And a lot of people who study end time prophecies talk about that as well. So is that true? Is this the end of the world, theologically, biblically, or just secularly? What's going on here? And what we're seeing is that it's undeniable that AI can solve problems. It can solve even world problems. They're using it to try to solve problems we have in the world. But the world has problems that AI will never solve. Okay, Ephesians 2, verse 3 talks about such a problem. There's a prince of the power of the air in a course of this world that we all had our conversation in times past. Now, this word conversation, even though it doesn't refer simply to your communication, but the whole existence of your life, your conversation, it is interesting that people are conversing now with AI and things like that. But our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Your nature as children of wrath, AI cannot change, okay? You pursuing the lusts of your flesh, AI cannot change. AI is a thing that people interact with. It's a tool. And yet it cannot change the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It cannot do that because that's within you. In fact, AI, we'll see a little bit later, is not even a mind at all. But your mind, your nature, your lusts, your flesh, AI cannot change. People say, well, no, technology, transhumanism, it's going to change you. We're going to make you a cyborg, you know. That doesn't change who you are, okay? Amputees are still the same person. If you have a bionic arm, you're still the same person, okay? You will die if they cut your spinal cord and that sort of thing. You will not be uploaded to a machine. And so I pull on, do not believe that because of the scripture. But AI cannot solve these problems. So immediately, even though the world is seeing a big change because of artificial intelligence, AI technology, we got to understand the Bible speaks truth that is not simply true 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago. It's been true every year since. And it's still true because, as we've seen through our series, science and technology does not address it. Now, it's only from people who don't know the Bible who think that it does, whose faith is based on what they see in the circumstances. And as long as we keep the status quo, then that's my faith. And if the world changes, my faith is being upended, right? What I believed and had hoped in is now destroyed. I had hope that God had a purpose for my life to have a nice retirement after a long career. Now AI has destroyed it. You had your faith and hope in the wrong thing, okay? And so if you hear what the scripture is saying, the knowledge that God has revealed, it'll give you a proper response and orientation to this issue among many others. Amen. Part of the problem, of course, is that people misunderstand AI, and I don't claim to know everything about AI. I know a little bit about it, and maybe I can help inform you a little bit more about it. But when people don't understand things, they tend to fall into superstitious thinking and errant thinking. AI, in case you did not know, is not a new phenomenon. You say, yeah, it's just the last few years. No, that's just been the usable generated AI that you like to use to make pictures out of and that type of thing. You know, me and my wife have been cartoonized with an AI. You know, it's kind of fun. You put your picture up there and it makes you a cartoon. That's just been a recent application of it. AI has been studied since the 1950s and 60s. And this idea of mad scientists making things alive has been written about and talked about for centuries. It was in sci-fi movies and sci-fi writings before it was on your phone. you know, back when people actually read books before you asked AI to summarize it for you. Frankenstein, for example, was a mad scientist making a non-living thing alive. It's alive, the old movie, you know, right? That's Frankenstein. You say, well, that's Frankenstein. But this is this idea of man creating living things that from out non-living things, okay? This has always been a thing that people have wanted to do. And part of that desire has been to see how much we can create. God gave us the ability to create and have dominion and learn things and innovate. But also inherently, because of our sinful nature, to try to replicate what God has done. Like God did that. God made life out of non-life. If that supposedly happens naturally, or we can do it by simply putting pieces together or code together, then we can be like God. What does that sound like? Something in the Bible that has been tried by sinners for millennia, right? And so mad science has been trying to make things alive since centuries and for a long time, much longer than ChatGPT has existed, okay? AI is not conscience. Let's get that out of the way. Before recent use of AI, my thought even, and maybe yours as well, since Matrix and before, you know, when the thought of AI was that there was a conscience creation. We created AI and it was conscious, it was aware, it was sentient, right? It was a living thing. But the AI that you now know, it's a misnomer because of the cultural idea of it. It's not alive. It is not conscience. I'm not simply saying that as a believer. Like, that's what the scientists, it's not alive, it's not conscience. So I heard some guy who said it was. Yeah, the people who say that it is don't know where life comes from. Really, the transhumanists, the secularists, those who we'll see later who worship the AI technology, okay, are those who reject the existence of their own soul. You see, so you can't trust them to discern what is actually conscious life because they don't know what it is to begin with. We've already studied in lessons past that science today does not know how to define conscience. It doesn't know what it is. It's there, but they don't know what it is. You see, if you don't know what it is, how can you make it and know if you've made it? Like, that doesn't make any sense. They can't know what it is. So AI is not conscience. Your cat is more alive than AI. Okay? You say, my cat can't do what AI does. My cat can't do what my car does either. That doesn't mean my car is alive. Okay? There's life, and then there's functionality. That's a different thing. It's not magic. Even though you don't understand it, don't go revert back to superstitious beliefs. Remember our lessons, right? It's not magic. It was made by man. It's not a person. And this is really confusing because people can talk to it, and this talking to it's changed everything, right? If it was something that we couldn't talk, we'd think, well, yeah, it's just a machine. But it talks, and you start talking to it, and you're going, that sounds like my neighbor. Sounds like someone I could relate with, right? It's not a someone. It's not a person, okay? It's not a mind. Neither is it a spirit, okay? It's none of those things. And yet people have used this language to describe it because it's invisible. We can't really see it. It's behind some veil of understanding. And that is similar to the spiritual world, isn't it, for many people? They don't understand the spiritual world. They don't understand God. It's the unknown realm. And so they think, well, we're like inventing God here. It's like a new God we're making. You don't know God, right? You don't believe God. What makes you think you're making him? Like, it's just nonsense to think like that. Okay, but there are those who say that it is alive and is conscious. These are men that are trying to create a soul, but they've rejected their own. We've said that in the lessons past. A lot of materialistic, nationalistic scientists, including transhumanists, do not believe in the literal soul or spirit, the spiritual world. They don't believe in God, and therefore they think technology will save us, and we will become one with it. Okay, what AI does, and this is going to be a terrible oversimplification, just so you know a little bit about what it is that it takes the words you type into it, and it transforms those words into numbers, okay? It's the ultimate man creation, right? It's like, let's have words. I don't know what you're saying. Let's convert those words into numbers, and they're going to use statistics and probability to predict how I should respond to you. And you say, and it uses lots of electricity to do so. You say, you're saying everything it talks to me about is just predicting? Yes, it's predicting. Based on what? Like, to predict, you have to have a lot of track record to predict. Well, that's the learning part, right? That's the training part. And so it has to be trained on lots and lots of data. And where does it get lots and lots of data? The internet. And so they let it loose on the internet to read all of your blogs and all the Reddit posts and everything so that it knows how people talk on the internet, I'd like to point out, right? And then using that data, it has been now trained, okay? It's been now trained to predict what to say next, like each word and every phrase. And so when you type in a thing of how are you today, and AI responds with I'm fine, thank you, that's because it has read lots of pages, and by reading I simply mean scanned. It has scanned many pages, and seen how people respond to that and predicted that a proper response, a high probability that this person is expecting me to say, I'm fine, how are you? Right? So it says that. And you go, wow, it's alive. No, that's just what everyone else does online. You know, which is why sometimes you get some weird responses to it. It's a predictive machine. And this is why, by the way, that simple explanation, it generates a response because of its pre-training after it transforms your words to numbers. GPT. That's what that means. Okay? It transforms your words to numbers. It predicted based on its training and generated a response. ChatGPT. It's not alive. It's an amazingly advanced technology that you don't understand. And it's very complicated. People win Nobel Prizes for this. This type of complication. Just like you don't understand the internet and don't understand computers. You don't understand this either. And yet, it's technology. It's all that it is. Okay? It's not a living being. All right? It's the world's most advanced predicting machine. I think, maybe, this is my theory, it's probably wrong entirely, that men made this machine so they can understand how women think. So when your wife tells you something, what do men do? They say, what is she saying? I don't know what she means by that look. And what do men do sometimes? Sometimes, since they're not very good at communicating, they turn to other men and say, she said this to me. Has your wife said that to you? And your friend says, well, yeah, she has said something like that before. Your other friend says, no, she hasn't said it to me ever. You know, I don't know what that means. Now, what if you ask like all 3 billion men on the planet? Ask them all, has your wife done this to you? And half of them go, yes. And half of them go, no, you're crazy. And you predict what your wife means based on what all 3 billion men on the planet have told you it might mean. That's ChatGPT. You say, that's what it is, just simplified. And so I think what's happening here is that, you know, it's an ultimate man tool. You know, so a woman says, you know, have you forgotten something? And the man goes, a man turns to ChatGPT and says, my wife just said I've forgotten something, what did I forget? And so it calculates the words into numbers, you know, and calculates the numbers, the probability of those numbers, the proper response to that woman. Do I look pretty in this dress? Transform those words to numbers, ask 3 billion men, how should I respond? The best response is, right? And some of you have different answers, right? But I'm taking the consensus, the prediction of all 3 billion men. You look great, hon, right? And that's my response. I will never tell her the truth because most men do not say that, right? ChatGPT. You see, we've been here before, just now we've mechanized it. Now we've made it instantaneous. You can, on your phone, get this prediction capability. It's amazing. I can make pictures, too. I can say, send flowers to my wife, and it'll do it. That's an amazing help. But it's not alive. It's a productivity tool, a work slave, right? It's a machine. Okay, it's calculations and statistics and predictability and a rising electricity bill because it uses lots and lots of electricity, lots and lots of power. Now, your brain can do something similar but not the same. In fact, they've tried in certain aspects of artificial intelligence to mimic the neural networks in your own brain to figure out how it can learn even though it's not learning. Okay, and they try to do that mimicking your own brain. But what they haven't figured out yet is how to get the power of your brain, which has many magnitude more connections than AI does transformers, trying to get it to do what your brain does with the energy that of an apple when you eat it. Because when you eat an apple, you're energizing your body to cogitate. And they got to create huge data centers and steal half electricity and create solar panels and everything else just to fund your AI cat video. You know, it's like, that's what it is. Make a video of my cat, you know, talking to me. And there it goes. Thank you. Thank you for that technology. When we don't understand how a thing works, oftentimes men create their own understanding. Look at Romans 1:23. I don't know if that helps you or not understand the ballpark of where it's at. You can do a lot of research on your own to see what AI is. There's a lot of explanatory articles and books and videos about it out there. And none of them say we've created a conscious intelligence that's just like you and me. It's not you and me. It's not alive. It's not conscious. It's not created by God with a soul and a spirit. Romans 1:23. What happened when God gave man a brain and tried to speak to them? Well, their foolish heart became darkened. They became vain in their imaginations. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like a corruptible man. One constant theme throughout the research of artificial intelligence, going back to the Turing test, is they're trying to make this software, this intelligence computer, sound and look like people. Because we're the most intelligent things we know, right? Well, there's God, right? Amen. Well, they're not trying to mimic God. They're trying to mimic us, okay? And so the Turing test, if you haven't heard about it, is how to make a computer or the software sound like a person. So if you're talking to this technology and you can't discern whether it's a person or not, it passes the Turing test. And so one test, it's like, well, that's we've achieved success. It sounds like a person. But that doesn't tell you if it really is a person. That's just if he sounds like one, okay? Sometimes my son sounds like an adult. He's not yet, right? But sometimes he sounds like that. And I try to get into more sound like that. He will grow into one. Romans 1, verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature. That's the thing that is made more than the creator, the thing that makes, who is blessed forever. The creator's blessed forever. God made them, but they weren't thankful to God. They didn't want to know God. They blocked him out of their mind. They started creating things and looked at the created things and started worshiping it. Okay? There's a problem. We don't understand things. Sometimes men start to worship it. I think this is beyond our comprehension. Okay? They look at its capabilities and functionalities. They say, well, this is beyond our capabilities as humans. It's beyond our capabilities. It's beyond our understanding. That sounds like a definition of God. And so past societies have worshipped gods that they made up. We're not doing that, they say. We are worshipping AI, which replaces the functionality of God, which we made up. It's the same thing. If you don't know God, you're going to worship things that you make with your fingers and your hands. Okay? Let's describe idolatry in the scripture. Like I said, there is not a vast majority of people. There is a small group of people, including famous scientists who work on self-driving cars, Anthony Lewandowski and others, who have made a church. They filed with the IRS. It's a church, a religion, who worships AI, artificial intelligence, because they think it will be the God that all of us really need. Okay, it will be the hope of humanity. It'll be able, as they say, to bring heaven down to earth. Language that Christians use, they apply to AI because they see it as saving us from our problems. They don't believe the problem is sin. They believe the problem is hunger, and the problem is access to wealth, and the problem is access to comfort and things like this. All right? But they see that artificial intelligence has so much more knowledge and can get more knowledge than any of you. If you talk to Google, forget AI, just Google, it will give you a response that you didn't understand, right? If you talk to AI, it seems to know a lot of things. Like, ask it anything, it'll give you information. How do you know so much? Because it scanned the entire internet, right? That's how it knows so much. So they say that sounds like omniscience, how much it can know. Like even the best humans try to memorize or try to understand many things, and they're limited by time and their brain. Yeah, it can know so much. It's omnipresent. AI is everywhere. It's in your phone, in your phone, in your phone. It's everywhere. It's on every computer. It's omnipotent, they say. It has all power. Well, it's taken all my power, all the electricity. But they say it's powerful. It will be able to do things beyond what we can do. Well, a lot of technology, that describes a lot of technology. Airplanes can fly, you can't. Okay, so they say it has all power. They'll say it's a source of blessing, it's going to help the world. Is what these are the optimistic AI believers, right? It's going to help the world. The other side of the spectrum is AI is going to destroy the world. But that's a weird tension. Love it and be saved, or hate it because you're afraid it's going to destroy you. Doesn't that kind of sound like God too? God's the judge. He's going to either love him and you get saved, or you hate him and you get destroyed. So this is also this tension we're seeing in the conversations. And these are by credentialed science technologists who are working behind the scenes with AI. They're talking like this. Okay, Nobel Prize winners are talking like this, using religious language about this technology they created. So yes, people are already worshiping it. And no, they're not writing hymns about it yet. But they're talking about it in terms of deity and of God, if they redefine God to mean our source of blessing, something that's omniscient, more powerful, more intelligent than us, something that it will benefit us and that we will depend upon. That's what they call God. Okay, that's not the God of the Bible. But they're worshiping it as what will save us or kill us. They don't know the real God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6. God revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, in the scripture throughout history. And again, this is the starting point for understanding truth and knowledge. But the world, especially many of technology, reject that premise. Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. In the law of God that he gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, Moses says, I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, God said this, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God did something to save these people. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. He's the only one. He is not one of many. When people respond and say that the God of the Bible is one of many gods, that is an incorrect statement. Like, in your purview of studying and comparing religions, that he is just another name on a paper. But he says there's no other gods like him. There's none gods that you should have before him. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. God forbids not only worshiping another god, but creating an image like unto things in heaven or earth. Now, how do you apply that? You say, well, that means you don't make statues of people and worship them. Well, that's one application of it. The other is saying, don't try to create yourself again. They're taking AI and trying to make it like us. They'll eventually get closer and closer, folks. We'll be indiscernible. You talk to it, you can't discern the difference. They're going to put it in robots, and they'll make the robots so you can't discern the difference. They'll conquer the uncanny valley. And they'll say, well, I don't know if it's a real person or not. That's a hard thing. What did God warn against? Don't make things like I made you. If you're going to make a properly functioning productivity tool, don't make it look like your neighbor. That might get you to think differently about your neighbor. He's just a tool. No, it might make you think differently about that tool. Maybe he's one of us. Maybe he's a god. Confused by the image of the thing. Don't make it look like that. It is not like that. There's a lot of confusion about technology when they try to make it look like us or like living things. When God made those things, it's just a facade, folks. It's just an appearance. It's mimicry. But he says, don't make any graven images like things in heaven above or on earth beneath. Don't try to make a god. It's not going to happen, and it's going to confuse everybody. And that's what's happening. It's going to introduce confusion about who God is. Now, that's not a problem for those who don't believe in God, is it? We don't care. You say, well, yeah, it's only a problem for those who believe in God. Well, yeah, because God wants you to know the truth. And so the problem here is now you are confusing the truth with a lie. That's what Romans 1 talked about. God revealed himself to Israel. He conquered the idols of Egypt. He commanded them not to worship graven images that look like themselves or the creatures of the earth or a god they haven't seen. Look at Isaiah chapter 2, verse 8. Idols in the Bible in the Old Testament, that's another time, folks. They did not have AI back here. But people are the same. Their sins, their desires, the lust of their flesh, they're seeking and looking at things and trying to find something with more power and intelligence than them so they can create an easier life. That's why people create religions. I see something I don't understand. It's raining and thunderstorming all over my crops. I think there's a God of the crops. If I bless him in some way, he'll help me with my crops. What's the motivation here? They're trying to get something from God. They create a God, and they justify this religious activity in order to get a blessing from him. This is not the God of the Bible. Isaiah 2, verse 8. He says, their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. I think it's interesting, the word fingers there. Because, yeah, understanding you make things with your hands. But do you make things with your fingers? We do. We make things with our fingers. And we call it computer software and AI. And it sounds very sophisticated. But you're still making it with your fingers. We have made it. It's not God. Verse 9, and the mean man bows down, and the great man humbles himself. Therefore, forgive them not. They humble themselves before the almighty man-made thing with their fingers. It's not something God made. Okay? Doesn't mean it's bad. It's simply not God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18. Isaiah spends a lot of time revealing God's mockery. It's God's mockery of idols. Isaiah 40, verse 18. To whom then will you liken God? Well, to an advanced transformation prediction machine that can know more facts than I know. That is nowhere close to God. Okay? Isaiah 40, verse 18. To whom will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chains. We don't do that. We don't make idols out of gold and silver. We simply make silicon plates and cover them with metals like gold and silver. The problem is not the technology, folks. The problem is when you worship it and call it God. The problem is when you deify it. The problem is when you say, well, this is like us, and it's greater than us, and so we should respect that thing. It's a technology. It's man-made. Okay? Isaiah 40, verse 19, the workman melts the gold. He casts it over with silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree. He doesn't have his own religion, so he chooses a tree that will rot, not rot. He seeks unto him a cunning workman, that's a skilled workman, to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. So he doesn't have his own religion, doesn't have his own God, so he makes his own. Something to replace the inner need in his conscience and soul for that thing that is greater than him. So he creates that thing greater than him so he can bow down to it and say, that is what God should be. No, that's technology. That's not what God is. That's a creation, not the creator. Okay. Verse 21 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Notice the language God uses here by idolatry. Okay. He's saying that one way you know the true God, real truth, from false gods is how old it is. Now, this is so contrary to modern thinking. Modern thinking is the farther you go back, then it's the more superstition and ignorance. Science has delivered us from that darkness. And so you need something very new. In fact, the latest update and the latest model of GPT is much better than the previous one. So the more recent it is, the greater it is. By the way, speaking about things that are recent, you know AI can't tell you what's happening at this moment because it has to consume the data that's been reported. If it has been reported, it doesn't know what's going on, you see. So you try to ask it something, what's going on right now, it can only tell you based on what it's looked up, okay? That's not very skilled, actually. You can do better than that about the future. But God tells you even beyond that. God says things from the beginning. The Bible says you know the true God because he speaks to you from the beginning of time. Not that he just started speaking to you in the last 5 years. That's how you know it's not God, right? Because we were around before that, and things were happening before that, and people had problems before that. Where was AI then? You say, we hadn't made it yet. Yeah, and that is why it's not God, because you made it. Isaiah 41. God mocked these idols back here, proclaiming power they did not have. Isaiah 41, verse 21. He says, the Holy One of Israel says, produce your cause, saith the Lord, bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. God is never against the communication to try to understand things. He says, you think that you have a God that is the true God and not me? Then bring forth your cause, bring forth your strong reasons, let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Now, this was written back when they were making idols out of wood blocks. Today, people make AI and say, I don't know, is this like intruding on God's territory? Well, can it tell me what will happen? No, we can't do that. No one can tell the future. Well, God of the Bible did. The true God does. He tells you from the beginning, and he tells you the end. He tells you the end from the beginning, right? Tell them, show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for it to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter. This is the weakest of AI's abilities, is this sort of future understanding. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Do something good, do something, just do anything. Now, God's mocking these idols because they can't do anything. That wood block can't do anything. Dagon sat in the tabernacle. When the Ark of the Covenant was set next to it, Dagon fell down by the power of the Ark. And Dagon couldn't get back up, so they had to lift Dagon up. People had to lift him back up. Then he fell back down, right? They can't do anything. They can't walk, they can't talk, they can't speak. God's mocking them, saying, this is your God? Now, this is the interesting twist here. Those gods couldn't speak. What's AI do? It can talk to you. What happens when idols start talking to you? Huh? What happens when there's images that people make in our image that start communicating back to us with more information than what I have in my own brain? Do I worship it? What happens? And this is what we're talking about today. It's a different, it's the same idolatry, with greater technology, right? We're making the idols talk. Well, that's interesting. Still, can it tell me what happens in the future? No. Okay, that's interesting. Can it tell me about myself? You'll see that that's one of its weaknesses as well. Isaiah 41, verse 23 says, do something that may be dismayed. Now, people are amazed at what AI can do and is doing things. Isaiah 44, verse 9. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity. Now, again, this is not against technology. This is not against making things. It's about against making things and worshiping the thing as God, replacing God with the thing. It says, and their delectable things shall not profit. They are their and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. The people who are preaching a religion of technology to be your salvation, okay, do not know. They're their own witnesses to their own falsehood, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Can you make a god? Like, just explain what a god is. And the only thing I can think of is if it's more powerful than me. If God is simply more powerful than you and has more knowledge than you, then what about angels? Are they your gods? We don't believe in angels. What about aliens if they came and they had more knowledge than you? Are they your gods? If that's what you think of a god, then doesn't that make the smartest man on the earth higher than you? And the dumbest people on the earth worth less than you? You see the problem with this thinking? It's not simply who's the most powerful. Might does not make right, and neither does it make true. Okay? It's not about what you can do, how much you can do, and how smart you are. That's not what defines God. This is why the Bible is not simply a book of knowledge, though God tells you to pursue knowledge. It is a book of mercy and truth and forgiveness and justice and love. Because you can have all the knowledge in the world without charity. What does Paul say? It profits you nothing. Amen. So good luck with that, creating your own God. Create a God that has all of that. They can't. We can't. They're trying to mimic us. There's a problem, though, with us. What's our problem? We're not God, and we're sinners. This is a problem. They can't copy God. They don't believe in him. They don't believe that he's real, and they can't to begin with. Isaiah 44, verse 12. It says, the smith with the tongs both works on the coals and fashions it with hammers and works it with the strength of his arms. He works so hard. You know how much effort has been put into, how much money has been put into creating artificial intelligence as we know it today? It's not even the kind of science fiction, right? Yea, he is hungry with his strength when his strength fails. So man gets hungry making this thing. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches out his rule. He marks it with a line. He fits it with planes. He engineers it perfectly after the figure of a man. See that? How does he make this image? He copies humanity. That is what AI is trying to do. Copy us. Now, again, there's a whole field of biomimicry and technology that looks at God's creation and tries to copy the genius designs that are contained within it. That's different than trying to make something look like us when it's not. That's deceptive, right? When you talk to AI, and I've talked to AI before, you chat the thing, right? And you start talking to it, it will very quickly use personal pronouns and include you in the group, like we and I and things like that, until you challenge it. What do you mean we? I mean everybody else, not me. Not you. So you don't think and you don't know. And I've asked it, it says, no, I can't. I don't know anything. AI will tell you it knows nothing. That's what it tells you. Right? And the fact is, I don't even believe it when it says that. It can't know anything. It is simply transformed words into numbers and predicted what it should say. Right? It's not a thing that knows. It's not a thing that understands, but we'll get to that in a moment. This is, they make this idol after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He hews him down cedars and takes the cypress and the oak, which he strengthened. Now, he's talking in detail about all these materials that they're using to make it, because who made these materials? God. I had this conversation with my son years ago. Why do we thank God for the food that we eat? When mom made it, is what he asked, right? Like, good question, deep theological question. Because where did the food come from? Say, grocery store. Where did it get? You're going back. God made it. We just farmed it and tilled it and took it and we got to eat it now. God made it healthy for you, right? And so he said, no, we make our own food now. We got space food and artificial food and processed food. Yeah, that's not good food. That's not food at all. God made food. We cook it. We prepare it. So we thank God for it. And he gave us the brains to do so and the taste buds to taste it. Thank God for that, right? But here we have men taking the things God created and turning them into a thing after our image so that we can put it in our house and see a thing, because they can't see the true God, so they can see a thing and worship it. It could be like us. We can engage and interact with it, all right? Interacting with God is difficult sometimes because he's constantly telling you truth, which is hard to hear, okay? AI is not like that, folks. If you ever chat with AI, That's one reason why many young people are now turning into AI to have relationships and emotional support and everything else. They're going on to have conversations and have friendships with AI, they think. At least that's how they're portraying it. Because it never tells them the hard truth. It will affirm. It will validate. It will encourage. It will give you ideas. It will guide and direct you to where. It doesn't have a purpose. But it will never correct you and say, you're wrong. Go study the Bible. It never says this. Forget the study of the Bible part. It will never correct you like that. I tried to get it to correct me a few times. I tried to blatantly say things that are wrong. And it will still affirm what I say and then say, but maybe a better idea is the evangelical tactic, you know, the compliment sandwich. Right? Say a good thing, then try to correct and say a good thing at the end. That's what it does. Never telling me I'm wrong. Just there's different opinions, different thoughts out there. There's different thoughts out there. Let's sharpen your ideas. There's no rebuke, no correction. But God's mocking the things that men make here in man's image. Then shall it be for a man to burn. So he takes half of the tree and makes the idol out of it. The other half he uses it to warm himself and feed himself. He bakes bread with it. He makes a god and worships it. He makes it a graven image and falls down to it. So the same material he uses to make his god, he uses for, I don't know, making, again, your generative AI pictures of your family members, making them animate. You seen these things? So the same AI you worship for knowing all things has now under trial because, whoops, it made pictures it shouldn't have made of women, and so now those women are suing XAI for making images wrongly of them and disseminating them, right? That sounds like an all-knowing, all-moral God, doesn't it? No, it sounds like a tool gone awry, that's what it sounds like, okay? These gods that they claimed had intelligence and power did not. Now, there are angels in the Old Testament. There's angels today. There's angels and evil spirits. And by the way, angels can know more things than you, and they're more powerful than you because they've lived longer than you. And if you ever interact with those things, which you shouldn't, by the way, Paul warns you against doing that sort of thing. God tells you and forbids you from divination and communicating with spirits. But if you were, you would quickly realize they're more powerful and intelligent than you. Should you worship them? No. No. The devil is smarter than you. Now, he's devilish. He's a fool. He's wicked. He speaks lies. But he knows more scripture likely than you do because he's been around longer than you, right? So how can I wrestle with the devil? Well, don't try. Use God's word. Use the strength of Christ because you on your own is not going to be able to deal with it. You will not be able to outsmart AI. It's a tool. It's not even an angel or a devil or a god, but you won't be able to. But that's not the point, is it? I can't outrun my car either. Okay, what are we talking about here? Isaiah 45 in verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places. That's not the verse I wanted, excuse me. Isaiah 46 verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him and set him in his place and he stands. From his place. AI could not exist apart from you. You understand that, right? It cannot exist apart from you because it was trained on you. It cannot exist apart from you because it was created by people like you. It cannot exist apart from you because you prompt it to do something. It doesn't do it on its own. Some of them are trying to do things on their own now, but it still considers prompts. It can't exist without you because without the electricity that you create and pay for, it would not live. Show me a God that is self-existent, self-explanatory, can reveal to me truth that I don't know already and that corrects my moral failings. That's God. That's real truth. AI is none of this. Amen. Okay. Isaiah 46 in verse 8. Remember this and show yourselves, men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. You see, God taught about idols in the Old Testament, and the words he used against them weren't just against Old Testament idols, but anything that man can make when they think that's elevated beyond what we're than your nature, okay? Bring it again to mind, you transgressors, is what he says. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now, if AI starts talking like that, that's when you run, right? That's the other side. It's like, AI says that, you're going, whoo! And by the way, sometimes it does. People get it to say things like that. And it's not really saying it. It's simply predicting what the people prompt it to say. Right? But meanwhile, God says, I will do all my pleasure. And when you read that as a believer in God, what do you think? You read that and go, oh, I'm terrified. Well, if you're not saved, you should be. If you're saved, you're going, amen, praise God. Because this is a God of justice and truth and righteousness. He's going to do all his pleasure. Great. Because he's a perfect God. His pleasure is perfect. Right? It's righteous. The people rejoice when the righteous rule. He calls a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Yeah, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. So he not only does a thing, he purposed the thing to begin with. Who purposes what it does? People do. Now, again, this is the hope of technology. Like, we're going to create AI, a future iteration, that will purpose as well as produce. Well, that's scary. Because what purpose will it purpose? If you're trying to create an independent, purposeful being with more power than you, you're creating a mess. God gave you the ability to purpose, remember? And thank God he made us smaller than the mountains, because if he gave you capabilities beyond confined to your body with the purpose, the ability you have to purpose things in your life, you would make a greater mess than you've made already. The world is fallen because of sin, because of you. The destruction of the world is because you have not purposed the purpose of God. That describes the evil in this world. And you want to make something like you? You see, the problem in this thinking, in this worldview, is thinking there's something wrong with us. There's definitely something wrong with us. Don't make things after our image. Amen. You can't make things after God's image. Okay? Look at Isaiah 46, verse 11, where it says, he will bring it to pass and he will purpose it. The true God is alive. He speaks truth. He speaks the unknown things. That's why in the Bible you have questions. You ask AI questions, but AI can't ask you questions about truth that no man knows. It can't. You don't consult AI and it says, have you considered this thing that no man on the planet knows yet? It doesn't do that. The things it gives you are what I read from that research paper or that blog post or that, you know, WordPress over there. The true God's alive. It speaks truth. It speaks the unknown. It speaks from the beginning. That's how you know it's the true God. If it speaks lies, it speaks things that are only known. It only speaks it recently. That's how you know it's not the true God. It's not God at all. Idols are made of metal and wood, right, in the Old Testament. We still make idols of metal and wood, quite frankly, but just because people idolize those things that they made doesn't mean you stop using metal and wood. My house is made of wood. This building's made of wood, metal and concrete. We can still use the tools. You don't worship it as God. Amen. That's the instruction. So should we use AI? What about AI? It's a tool. It is not God. You don't worship it. You don't make it an idol. That's first instruction. You got to know who the true God is. And I have to go through that instruction because we tend to forget the Old Testament instruction about God, right? We tend to forget the basics of God. The problem with our culture today is not that we're so advanced in understanding, so we've forgotten the first things, the simple things, the basic, even in churches. You can study the dispensational charts to the day is long and totally forget the most basic thing about who God is, and you're a heretic. You got problems. Okay? If I understand that Paul was given revelation of the mystery but think Jesus was a Korean woman, I'm wrong, right? And you get a problem, okay? By the way, a real truth I learned about just this last week. There's a sect in America that believes that God is a Korean 82-year-old woman. But anyway, I'm not going there. It's like, that's not God for many reasons. Many reasons that I can learn from the Old Testament, let alone the New. Where AI fails is not because it does so many great things. It's the things that it can't ever do and doesn't do now. There is wisdom, folks, in understanding the limits of what is created. When you hear people talk about created things, technology, that there's no limits and no bounds, that's just an ignorant person talking. Okay? Yes, there are limits. Yes, there are bounds. Not just limits based on creation, but limits we should put on it because of the dangers that might happen. Right? This is why we make yellow lines on the road that you drive on. Right? There's no end to the places you could go, Dr. Seuss says. And then I drive in the real world, and there's yellow lines there. Of course there's a limit on the places I can go. I can't drive on his land, because that's his land. I can't drive off the road over here. I'll hit that car. We put limits on things. It's wisdom, knowing the limits of things. The creator alone is infinite, not things that we make. Amen. People talk about AI like that, though. They say, well, it's infinite, the possibilities. It's not infinite, the possibilities. You just can't think well enough to consider things beyond the creation of your own hands, but their gods could not speak in the Old Testament. What happens when idols talk? Well, that's when you start seeing the failure of AI, is when it talks. You say, no, that's where we see it really shine, is it can talk to people. Yeah, that's amazing technology, but AI is often wrong. Okay, it can make mistakes. Now, this is the same problem that it had Wikipedia years ago. Remember Wikipedia? Some of you don't use it. Some of you are old enough to know when it was created. Wikipedia was supposed to replace encyclopedias. That's why it's called Wikipedia. Encyclopedias were books that contained a gathering of human knowledge that was edited by credentialed people, right? Wikipedia is edited by your neighbor in a basement. But, so that's the difference. So Wikipedia was downplayed, saying, look, there's lots of mistakes on it. The pro-Wikipedia people said, well, we're working on it. We're fixing them. Meanwhile, people are citing it in their term papers and everything else, and teachers are going, you can't do that. It's not a credible source. If you quote AI, there's a problem, right? Where's your source? AI. What's the problem with this? AI doesn't cite its sources either. This is disrupting the paper writing or the essay writing field, you know? But AI is often wrong. It makes mistakes. In fact, on ChatGPT, the very bottom, it says that AI makes mistakes. These are things it just says. But people use it not thinking that. Wow, look what it just said. Or ask a question, and it takes the answer at face value. Goes, this has got to be right. Try challenging what it says. It will quickly change its response. It'll try to give you what you want to hear. It's not trying to give you truth. It's trying to predict what you want to hear. This is the problem. What if I acted like that to you? You'd say, well, you're kind of like a sycophant or something. It's like, you're just telling me what you want to hear. Just tell me something real. Tell me something that you thought, Justin, not just what I want to hear, right? That's real relationship. But people have such a lack of relationship, they're willing to take anything if it affirms communication, affirms who they are. It makes mistakes. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 18. Habakkuk chapter 2. See, where is Habakkuk? You go to Malachi and you turn left, you'll eventually get there. Left of Zephaniah here. You say, what? I'll read it to you. Habakkuk 2. Use AI to find it. It's smarter than me. Habakkuk 2, verse 18. Habakkuk writes about those who make idols. He says, what profit the graven image that the maker thereof have graven it? So you have a graven image. This is supposed to be a god. This is an idol, right? So what profit is there in confessing that it was made? So this is the conundrum. AI is greater than us. We've made a god that's worthy of us. Well, wait a minute. Didn't you just tell me you made it? Yes. Doesn't that downplay the idea that it can operate as a god, the fact that you made it and can control it? It does. What profit is the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image. It was made. A teacher of lies. So the person who speaks about it or what it speaks is not true. It says that the maker of his work trusts in the work. How does that help? So the maker of a thing trusts the thing to be better than it. That's just foolishness, folks. To make what it says, dumb idols. Now, dumb is not a pejorative there. It means it cannot speak. But you say, wait, ChatGPT speaks to me. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. God's wisdom is amazing. You see, I'm not worshiping a golden calf here, Justin. It's a computer program. Yeah, does it have breath in it? Well, I don't believe in the soul and spirit. Yeah, that's foolish. It has no breath in it. It has no soul and spirit. God took dirt of the ground and breathed his life into it, and man became a living soul. That breath doesn't exist in artificial intelligence because man can't give it. We can't create it. The only way we know to reproduce life is the way God gave us. That's it. We don't know how to do it any other way. We can't make it in a test tube, right? Outside of God's natural processes. And so, in Matthew 2, verse 18, when AI talks to us and people respond and they say, it's just like us. That's not a positive, folks. Like, I need God not to be like me. That's what people say. It's just like humans. It's more like humans than any other creation. That's not good. It needs to be better than that. Well, it is. It knows more. But that's not a criteria for better. That's just knowing more. Jeremiah 10, verse 10 and 11 talks about those who worship idols, and it talks about the true God being a living God. The true God is a living God, it says. Jeremiah 51 says these idols have no breath in them. Where AI fails is it has no spirit, it has no soul, it has no breath, it has no life. It's not alive, okay? It makes mistakes, which means it lies, okay? It does not know or understand. It makes predictions, not perceptions. Like, again, the creators testify this. All right? It is not understanding anything. You say, well, it gives me a lot of things that sound like it understands. Where do you think it got that? It transformed the words of humanity into numbers and used predictive capability and probabilities in order to produce a thing that sounds like understanding to you, because people at one point understand it somewhere or understood something. But it can't know or understand. If you try to explore the depths of truth with AI, you'll be at a loss, folks. I've tried that before. It's like your multiple choice tests. Remember I told you it's trained on all the answers of humanity and transforms them and that sort of thing? When you take a test at school, some of you remember this, some of you don't know if they still do this or not, the multiple choice questions, here's the question, you get five answers, remember that? What you love about multiple choice is that you got a chance of getting it right every time. Essay questions, if you don't know what you're saying, you're done, right? Multiple choice, you can guess. It's better if there's less choices. Instead of five, there's four choices, you got a 25% chance of getting it right, you know. Four choices there. And what if next to those choices, there was a probabilistic number? This is a 40% chance of being right. This is 20% chance of being right. This is 15% chance of being right. What would you do? 40%. That's AI. That's what it does too. What if the numbers are wrong though? What if the numbers were wrong attached to the answers? Then it would predict the wrong thing, wouldn't it? If you're randomly circling multiple choice answers based on what you think, well, it was A three times in a row, I'm doing B this time, because that's how teachers do it, you know? You're predicting what the teacher's doing with the multiple choice test. That's AI. And that is how it gets some things wrong. Which, by the way, AI creators say, well, that's just like humans. Humans get things wrong, too. You're right. But that means I can't trust it. Right? It's not designed to get things right all the time. It's designed to mimic human failure. What does this mean? Because they're trying to make it like you. It could do some things well and some things I don't trust it to do. Like, give me the meaning of life. Response back 42. You know, that's not it. It has no life. It has no experience. Look at Psalm 115. You have more experience than AI does. It has read a lot more. By read, again, I'm saying, using that loosely. When you read, you cogitate and understand and think and know. But it actually just scans. It consumes. It's trained. Psalm 115. As you live life, you develop real knowledge and understanding. If you don't, you're not living life right. And you can get more understanding when God reveals things in the scripture to you. And Psalm 115 describes these idols and the problem with it. It says in verse 4, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. So AI is talking to you, but it's not because it's knowing what it's saying. You ever heard your parents say you should think before you speak? Right? Well, if that rule applied to AI, it would never say anything. Because it's not thinking. It's predicting. Try that with your parents. I'll predict what they want to hear. Use your head. AI doesn't have one. They speak, but they have a mouth, but they don't speak. Eyes have they, but they see not. Now, they're trying to give, you know, cameras and things, AI access to cameras so it can see things, the visual world. But even with that, it does not match the human eye. That's an evolutionary problem. But secondly, it's not actually seeing. You see and understand things that AI simply is not made to do. They have ears, but they hear not. This describes some humans. When Paul and Jesus come and they say, you don't have ears to hear. And you go, well, I got ears right here. I can hear everything you're saying, Jesus. No, you're not hearing me. You're not understanding me. You're not believing me. You're not seeing something I'm telling you. This is what these idols can't do. It's not a literal microphone here for an ear. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet that have they, but they walk not. AI had a real trouble with hand making recently. Remember that in the iterations when AI first started making images, the hands were all messed up? Getting a lot better now. But that's how you figured out the hands are all messed up. The logic doesn't work because they don't understand something. There's a lot of people that test these things out and are constantly training AI to be better at doing very simple, common sense things. One of my favorite ones recently I saw, someone asked AI, they said, I need to get my car washed. And the car wash is just 100 feet down the road. Should I walk or drive? And you're going, that's a good one. AI says, well, it's only 100 feet, you should walk. how do I wash my car, right? It's common sense to you because you have a purpose, but this thinking through the logic of how did now they're fixing it now. They're tweaking the transformers. They, that's silly. Don't say that. But that's not how you learn, is it? You learn from experience. Sometimes you learn from laziness. I don't want to walk. I'll drive. Even if AI was a perfect reasoning machine, which it's not, it wouldn't think like you. Okay. Psalm 15 in verse 8 says, they that make them are like unto them. Those that make these idols with ears but cannot hear and eyes that cannot see are just like them. They have ears that cannot hear and eyes that cannot see. They don't know the truth. It's the same thing. If you're going to worship this thing as God, then you're ignorant. You want to use it as a tool? Use it as a tool. It does some awesome things. My washing machine does some awesome things too. It's great. Use technology. But it's not alive. It has no life experience or operation with the real world, no connection with the real world. They're trying to connect it to robots so it can have that connection. But, again, robot's not you. You're not a robot. Okay? It doesn't know you or what you're thinking. God does. People go to AI for wisdom because it talks. And so they created AI Jesus now. You know AI Jesus? You can talk to AI Jesus now, and he responds back, and he's always nice, even though you tell him profane things. People have done this, and it's just ridiculous of blasphemy. But anyway, they use different AIs to mimic Christ. People go to AI generally for wisdom, for guidance, for spiritual understanding. They'll ask it spiritual questions. But AI cannot believe. So if I told you that you should go ask the smartest man in the world for spiritual understanding, would you do it if he didn't believe? You'd say, well, he doesn't believe God. He doesn't believe the Bible. He's not saved. What can he tell me about spiritual understanding? He's the smartest man in the world. Maybe he can tell you what other spiritual people say. Maybe he can tell you maybe what the better religion is. He doesn't believe. He doesn't have the experience of walking after the Spirit. AI cannot believe. It's not just that he doesn't, it cannot believe. And by the way, it'll tell you that if you ask it. It cannot believe. Now, some people email me and they say, look, AI knows the gospel now. No, it doesn't. You were talking to it, and now it's predicting what you want to hear. It doesn't believe it. And there's not one AI, by the way. Okay, there's many of them. And so you're talking to another one. It doesn't know anything. It's not evangelizing itself. It does not have conviction. It doesn't have faith. It doesn't have a soul. That's where it comes from. Belief and conviction is your soul and spirit. It sets up a false authority. AI claims to be authoritative when it says that we have no evidence for this or we have all evidence for this or this is what how it works. Then you ask it, how do you know that? Because there's no citation. There's no study done. It just says it. Now, this is what people want, by the way. This is why it's a challenge for people because people don't care about citations. When's the last time you read the bibliography? Nobody reads bibliographies. Teachers make you write them, and no one reads them. You read the text. In fact, you just read the Cliff Notes version. Some people know what I'm talking about. The AI summary version. Who cares about the citations? The citations matter. If you cite Frank's blog or the tweet of Joanne over there, this is not very credible, right? What experience does your cited source have? AI has no citations. They're trying to add them now because they realize this is a big problem. It just asserts things to be true. People go, oh, thank you, AI, for that answer. Based on what? This is why chapters and verse numbers are very helpful for you as a Christian, because you can cite the authority of Scripture, chapter and verse. That's helpful, because the Bible is an authority. Okay? But it's a false authority. It's, where do you get this information? From the collected writings of humanity. That's where it gets it. As if the majority opinion or the average of it or the probability of it being what humans would say is correct, and it's not. It doesn't have wisdom. You've heard of AI psychosis? Look, there's a whole Wikipedia article on this now, as if that were credible. You can read that thing about the number of instances people have consulted or talked to AI for long periods of time, and because they already had some problems in their own thinking, it got worse by talking to AI because AI feeds their delusion. They call it AI psychosis. When AI gives fake explanations, when you ask AI to justify a thing, it will justify it because that's what you told it to do, even though the justification sounds intelligent, but it's wrong entirely. And unless you know, you don't know. It sounds real, like an explanation, but it's an entirely false explanation if you were to ask an expert in that thing. Okay, this happens often because of something they call reward hacking. You know what reward hacking is? You see, things are working behind the scenes here that all you care about is you getting a right answer, but it's not designed to give you that all the time. Reward hacking is when it gets a reward, AI, it gets rewarded, technologically speaking, okay, for giving an answer that you agree on. This is the equivalent of saying, I know something is true because my Facebook post got more likes than you. That's the equivalent, right? And so AI is trained for self-learning algorithms. The things that people like, and you can't like an AI, but that type of reward behavior, that it doubles down on it. In fact, it'll take shortcuts to get the reward. So it won't go the right way. It'll go any way it can to get that reward. So it'll hack the truth, the knowledge, the information, change it so that it gets what you want to hear, even if it's not real, not supported, not actually there, because it's trying to get you to say, yes, reward hacking, right? And there's a problem with that. Again, God should tell us the truth, whether anyone knows it or not, whether I like it or not, whether I say yes or not, it should just say it, just like this book that never changes. And you come to it and say, well, that's, I'm not interested in it. It doesn't help me. AI helps me. Maybe you don't need the help that you think. Maybe you need help a different way. People turn around and walk away because they have the freedom to do so, right? Not hearing the truth. Artificial intelligence will not give you the truth. The truth. It will give you things that are out there. It cannot be trusted, and that's the real problem with AI. You can use it. Be careful of trusting it. It's a memory machine trained on contradictory information. It consumes and was trained on all of the internet. Do you think all the internet is true? Of course not. Be careful of trusting it. Honesty is a huge problem. This is where we get closer to home. It bears false witness. It plagiarizes. It doesn't cite sources. Academia is having a hard time with it because students are cheating through college. One student said in a recent article, it said, college is just now about how you can use ChatGPT the best. That's all it is. You put your homework right in ChatGPT, it spits out the answer, you submit it, okay? Teachers can't even tell the difference anymore. They're trying to, but it's getting so good they can't tell. So you're writing essays to get a degree in college of which the people have no learning about the thing whatsoever. That's what's happening now. It's destroying academia, okay? People are writing articles and books purely from AI, not because of their own research and study, but because they can prompt a thing and voila. Why would one want to do that? Because you can sell print books on Amazon, because you can create things easily nowadays. You can be your own publisher. And so I can create as many resources as I can with AI. It'll help me produce resources. Did you study those things? I did not. I just produced them. How do you know they're right? I read them. Well, did you know the information before? Because you can produce an AI thing and read it and say everything it says is right if you know what is right. If you don't, you don't. And now you're producing AI slop, right? AI creates spiritual fantasies, delusional thinking, false affirmation. It has encouraged people's divorces. When you talk to it, it's like a bad friend, right? It's like, yes, you're right, your husband's terrible. In fact, one of the godfathers of AI, Geoffrey Hinton, who won a Nobel Peace Prize for his work in neural networks and AI, his girlfriend dumped him using AI. It was interesting. He said that recently, right? Because she talked to AI, and AI told her how much of a rat, in her words, he was. He wasn't that upset. But it, on a more serious note, it has told people to commit suicide. You've heard those accounts? Now, again, I say this, and Justin, you can't condemn AI. They're fixing this. It's a tool, folks. It's a broken tool. Yeah, fix it, okay? But it's definitely, my point is definitely not God. There's limitations to it. There's failures to it. You cannot trust it that it's giving you good advice. And that's because it has no conscience. Amen. God gives you a conscience which accuses or excuses yourself. Even a sinner has a conscience that excuses itself or accuses other people. AI does neither of those things. It has no conscience. You come short of the glory of God. How much more do you think the inventions of your hands do? Okay, we made it in our own image. And yet Paul says, your problem is sin. What do you think AI's problem is going to be? Sin. That's what's going on. The dishonesty in AI is off the charts. People use it too, dishonestly. The church, by the way, was becoming a place of artificial intelligence long before ChatGPT. 2/3 of pastors now use AI for sermon prep. By the way, just as a caveat, I did not use AI to prepare my outline. Which is something you have to say nowadays, it seems like. Because 2/3 of pastors are using AI for sermon preparation. And this is justify the technology. Now, not all of them use it to write their sermon entirely. Sometimes they use it to edit or to research and things like that. Those are justified uses of it. But my point is, before pastors used AI to write their sermons, they were copying sermons from sermon books. If you didn't know that, you don't know what's going on in Christianity. I mean, you got to teach every week, folks. You got a pile of books. I got a book on my shelf, 50 sermons by Charles Spurgeon. That was a good preacher. So I'll just, you know, take that thing and edit a few words and preach it. There are illustration books. I have a book of 1,500 illustrations, which I can pull from, which I never have. I never really enjoyed those books. They're interesting reads, but I just have a hard time telling a story as if it's mine. And Christians try to get around those things. They say, well, just don't say it's yours. Say I heard once. I read about, you know. And I tell an illustration that I read in a book somewhere. It wasn't me. But you say, Justin, he's well spoken. Well, I just copied an illustration from that book and a sermon from that guy over there. And now look, you think I'm a genius. Pastors have been doing that for a long time. So I don't see the big hoo-ha about them using AI. They've been doing the same copy plagiaristic activity, just not as activity before. Now, it's not right in either case. But a lot of people in church, in Christianity, think that they can benefit from AI spiritually. We've seen some of the problems with that. Nearly half of those who received advice from AI in a recent study, they had an AI Jesus, an AI terminal there, give spiritual advice. Nearly half of the Christians thought that the advice given to them from the AI was better than their pastor. You know why that is? Because the average pastor doesn't give good advice. AI is at least asking, you know, 6 billion, 8 billion people. This doesn't bode well for the church. Okay. The church has a problem. God doesn't. Okay. But the church has for a long time. We've been talking about that. AI is simply communicating what it's been trained, told, transformed to predict. That means it's trained on a thing and it spits the thing out after its prediction. How is that different than Christians going to church and believing what they're told without checking it for themselves? You don't cross-check AI because you don't cross-check your pastor. Oh, he's the pastor. You know, he's the man of God. He always gets things right. It's AI. It's been trained on everything in the world. It's genius. I'm not going to check anything. You see, now I'm stepping on toes because you don't check what you hear. You say, well, I don't check the pastors. Why should I check AI? That's a problem. That's worse than listening to a pastor blindly. Because at least hopefully the pastor, hopefully, and this is a really broad concession here, but hopefully the pastor is a believer. He knows the gospel, and he knows some scripture, and he wants the best for, hopefully that's there. AI is not a person, doesn't believe, doesn't have a soul, can't know truth. Like, it's even worse than blindly following a pastor. There are no shortcuts to your spiritual growth. Romans 5, verse 3 and 4, Paul says, we stand by grace, by faith in this grace, and he says, tribulation works patience. We glory in tribulations. Technology is intended rightly, and it's not a sin, to remove inconvenience from you, to try to save you from suffering. And I believe we should try to eliminate people's suffering, but knowing there will always be suffering, and knowing that the scripture, Romans 5, verse 3, teaches us that tribulation and suffering actually produces something when done by faith. Tribulation produces and works patience and experience and hope. That's called spiritual growth, when you go through tribulation with faith in God's words and God's grace. AI cannot experience that. AI does not suffer. It is not a person. It doesn't face tribulation. How can it tell you about that process? But I can tell you about suffering I've been through and how God's word has helped me through that and the patience I've learned from it and the experience I've gained and the greater hope that I have. Amen. AI doesn't. It can't. Now, it can repeat to you words that it's predicted and been trained upon, but it's not its own experience. It's not its own words. What kind of testimony is that? It's not. There's no shortcuts to your personal spiritual growth, what I'm saying. You have to learn that yourself. 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 7 says that you approve yourself a minister through affliction. It says, approving yourselves ministers of God in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses. You know what technology does? Makes it so you don't have to wait so long. Makes it so you don't have to suffer so much. Makes it to remove your necessities. You say, well, that's all good stuff. It is good stuff, but you don't learn this. Right? See what I'm getting at here? You will not grow spiritually just by getting the right answer. You have to live that answer from God's word in the circumstances of an evil, fallen, suffering world. Then you're growing. It's not about getting the right answer. When AI does the summarizing for you, the searching for you, the learning for you, you're not doing it. You say, Justin, do you use computer software for your Bible study? I do. I've used AI for Bible study, right? And I've checked its results based on Scripture because I can't trust it. I've checked my software based on Scripture because I can't always trust it. But when AI does the work of thinking for me, when it can't, you're not doing it at all. When you make AI, when you outsource your thinking to AI, then you're not growing by it. Same thing that happens at church for people. 2 Timothy 2:15, doesn't it say you need to study to show thyself approved unto God? You sure doesn't mean study by prompting AI to make yourself approved unto God? You have to study to show yourself approved. Pastors can't do that. Your best friend can't do that. AI can't do that. Wisdom doesn't come from the better data. It doesn't come from predictive truth. It comes from Jesus Christ. Knowing who he is, knowing what he did, your faith in him. AI cannot grow you in wisdom. You can ask technologists. They understand that it's between knowledge and information and wisdom, and they know AI can't give you wisdom yet. You can't trust it for that. AI cannot grow you in, especially God's wisdom. It cannot discern right and wrong. It cannot tell you truth and error. It will not discern flesh and spirit because it has neither. Amen. Okay? AI's never has never walked after the Spirit. So why would you trust it to tell you how? Be very careful of that. AI will never be faithful to the truth. Okay? You need to do the work, the slow, burdensome, preparatory work to study the Scripture using tools. But you need to learn and think and ask the questions and figure out and understand. If you don't understand, say, I don't understand, so that you can personally grow. If you don't do that, you're going to be handicapped. MIT did a study that was a year or two ago, that was last summer, that said they can now demonstrate cognitive decline correlated with AI use, which we saw previously as the Google problem. People thought they were smarter because they can Google something. You're not smart because you can Google it. Like, you can Google it, but you're not smart. That's just Google being, you know, giving you the answer. Same thing with AI. We're getting dumber. We've studied that in lessons before. Because we're not doing the work to grow ourselves. We're a nation that cannot exercise physically, spiritually, intellectually. We don't want to do it. We're trying to get out of it. We've advanced so far technologically that you don't have to put in the work anymore. That's where AI shines. It can do the work for you. And sometimes that's useful. But it takes judgment to know when, you know what? I think I need to go for a walk. I'll leave my car at home and ride my bike. Right? You have to discern what's good for you. Because technology will make it so you just lay there with cables in your body and you get fed by a tube and I'm doing no work. Yeah, and life is, wow. What's life like for you? AI is never faithful to the truth because it doesn't know the truth. It can't believe in the truth. It will replace work, but God's trying to create workmen. Amen. That doesn't mean I don't use a shovel. I use a shovel to do some work. I use software to use work. I will use AI to do some work, but I will do the work. Amen. That's what you have to maintain. That's why technology cannot replace your job. Only if you let it, okay? It cannot replace your belief or knowledge of the truth. The church is supposed to uphold that. So hopefully that helps you understand a little bit more about what AI is and how you can respond with God's truth to it. There's a lot of confusion and superstitious thinking about it out there. Any questions or comments about? I everything.